There were two major differences between how people talked about memories of positive versus traumatic experiences. One, how the memories were organized, and two, their physical reactions to them. Weddings, births, and graduations were recalled as events from the past, stories with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Nobody said that there were periods when they'd completely forgotten any of these events. In contrast, the traumatic memories were disorganized. Our subject remembered some details all too clearly: the smell of the rapist, the gash in the forehead of a dead child, but could not recall the sequence of events or other vital details, the first person who arrived to help, and whether an ambulance or a police car took them to the hospital. We also asked the participants how they recalled their trauma at three points in time: right after it happened, when they were most troubled by their symptoms, and during the week before the study. All of our traumatized participants said that they had not been able to tell anybody precisely what had happened immediately following the event. This will not surprise anyone who has worked in an emergency room or ambulance service. People brought in after a car accident in which a child or a friend has been killed sit in stunned silence, dumbfounded by terror. Almost all have repeated flashbacks. They felt overwhelmed by images, sounds, sensations, and emotions. As time went on, even more sensory details and feelings were activated, but most participants also started to be able to make sense out of them. They began to know what had happened and to be able to tell the story to other people, a story that we call the memory of the trauma. Gradually, the images and flashbacks decreased in frequency, but the greatest improvement was in the participants' ability to piece together the details and sequence of the event. By the time of our study, 85% of them were able to tell a coherent story, with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Only a few were missing significant details. We noted that the five who said they had been abused as children had the most fragmented narratives. Their memories still arrived as images, physical sensations, and intense emotions. In essence, our study confirmed the dual memory system that Genet and his colleagues at the Salpêtrière had described more than 100 years earlier. Traumatic memories are fundamentally different from the stories we tell about the past. They are dissociated. The different sensations that entered the brain at the time of the trauma are not properly assembled into a story, a piece of autobiography. Perhaps the most important finding in our study was that remembering the trauma with all its associated effects does not, as Breuer and Freud claimed back in 1893, necessarily resolve it. Our research did not support the idea that language can substitute for action. Most of our study participants could tell a coherent story and also experience the pain associated with those stories, but they kept being haunted by unbearable images and physical sensations.